So, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news."
And it's really important to remember that, because it's absolutely fantastic truth, electrifying truth, an electrifying moment when Jesus comes on the scene and starts proclaiming the good news of God. This good news message, it is a good news message. Good news of God. See what it says? That's good news from heaven. Good news from God. Good news about God. What is God's good news? Well, something has happened. Jesus says, something has happened that God's people have been waiting such a long time for. Centuries and centuries and centuries, and the time has now come. The kingdom of God has come near. That is, the rule of God has come to earth. And it's come to earth in the King. The King's come. Jesus is the King. And with him, the rule of God has come. And the rule of God is going to overthrow all these enemies and all the enemies of human beings. Sickness, death, evil, sin. The rule of God's going to defeat all those enemies, so that the rule of God, the knowledge of God, the kingdom of God covers the whole earth forever and ever and ever. Your God reigns. That's the good news. Your God reigns. Is that good news? Should be. But sadly, it's not the good news that it should be to us. And that's because since the beginning, from the beginning of time, human beings, and that's all of us included, we believe the lie. We believe the lie of the devil. We believe Satan's lie. And Satan's lie was, if you remember Genesis 3, that God's rule is not good news, but bad news. And that's the lie that we've believed. The lie that things would be much better for us without God's rule. It'd be much better for us if we could rule ourselves. We've believed that lie. And so, sadly, we've tried to do that. And we pretend that we're the king instead of God. We sin. That's what sin is, pretending we're in charge instead of God. We like to be the boss of our own lives. We don't want to be ruled by anybody. Not by God, not by anybody else. We want to be in charge. We like to do what we want. And we see that every day. So, here, just a typical scene in a home. You're there playing, doing something you like. It might be playing on your Xbox or playing with your Lego or something like that, playing with your dolls. And your mum and your dad comes and says, "Can you stop doing that, please? And come and help me do the washing up." And you say, "No. No, I'm busy. I'm busy doing something." Or you simply ignore them and pretend that you haven't heard what they've said, and you go on doing what you're doing, which is just the same as saying no. I had a brilliant example of this yesterday. I was sat in the garden. It was late at night. It was Friday night, sorry. Friday night. It was about 9 o'clock. And I was sat where my neighbors couldn't see me. But little lad next door was out kicking his ball against the wall, just really enjoying his time. Dad comes out, and he says, "Time for bed." Brilliant reaction. "Oh, Dad! No, it's not bedtime. I'm not going to bed." It's bedtime. "No, it's not bedtime. It's only 6:30, Dad." "No, it's 9 o'clock. "No, it's 6:30. "It's 9 o'clock. Get in now." Who do you think won? Well, yeah, Dad won. But yeah, it's just a brilliant example. We all want to do what we want to do. And we don't like other people telling us what to do, and that includes God. We think that we know better than God. We don't, of course, and the results are all around us to see that. Our sin, our rebellion against God, our rejection of his rule has just made a right mess, hasn't it? right mess of our own lives, right mess of the world in which we live, God's good world, we've messed it all up. And God is the king, in spite of the lie that the truth is he is the king, and his kingdom has come in Christ, his kingdom will come. And it's a really, really bad thing for the people who've been made by God to say no to his rule. That makes God angry, rightfully angry, that we live our lives for our own kingdom, our kingdom of self, instead of his kingdom, the kingdom of God. He's angry that we do that. He's angry that we hurt others. He's angry that we live selfishly and mess up his world. And he will not allow us to keep doing that. And one day he's going to show everybody, every single person who's ever lived, he's going to show them that he's the true king. And he's going to set up his perfect kingdom that never ends. And everybody who's been saying no to God's rule will be shut out of that kingdom, that perfect good kingdom, forever and ever. Now, the Bible tells us that we all deserve that forever punishment because we've all said no to God's good rule. But Jesus has come with good news. The good news is we can be saved from this terrible, terrible future. God has sent the King into the world to save us, to rescue us, to make it possible for us to be in God's kingdom forever. Because of Jesus, we can be in God's kingdom. How about that? His perfect kingdom. We can enjoy his wonderful rule forever and ever. What do we need to do in order to be in his kingdom? Well, Jesus comes with two commands in our memory verse. And the first command was, repent. Repent. I've got some pictures, Andre, I think. So repent, and I think it was on the memory verse as well, means to do a U-turn or a 180-degree turn. It means to turn around, stop going one way and go another. And when Jesus says repent here, he's saying stop living as if you're the king and turn around and live as if God is your king. That's reality. So live that way. And that means a complete turnaround, a complete redirecting of our lives. We're born and we start to live going one way. My way to repent is to stop doing that, to turn around and go God's way. So imagine that wall there is God. The Bible says that we're born with our backs towards God, every single one of us, and we start life out going our own way. I'm living for me. I'm going to do what I want. And to repent means to stop doing that, to turn around and go God's way. Complete change. A complete turnaround. To repent means stop ignoring God and start paying attention to him. Stop living for the kingdom of self. Start living for the kingdom of God. Repent means be sorry for the wrong way you've been going and come back. Repent means stop making your own rules. Make Jesus your king and follow his rules. It means being aware of our sin, being sorry for it, admitting it, and changing. So true repentance means a changed life. So when I repent, a new king rules my life. It's not me anymore. Jesus is ruling my life. So what he commands, I now desire to do. What he forbids, I now try and avoid. I try to fight self-rule in my life. Picture. Thank you, Andre. Yeah, I don't know if you can see that. That's a man called Mickey Cohen. He lived in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. And do you know what his job was? I hope no one's does the job that he did. He's a gangster. He was a notorious gangster in Los Angeles in the 1940s and 50s. So a gangster is a professional criminal, someone who makes a living illegally. And he made his living by robbing and killing people, basically. And he ran L.A. He was basically in charge of L.A., or so he thought. One night, Mickey Cohen, he attended a Billy Graham meeting. Evangelistic rally, Billy Graham was there preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And Mickey Cohen seemed interested in the good news of Jesus. And all the church leaders thought, whoa, wouldn't it be brilliant if Mickey Cohen became a Christian? What an amazing impact that would have on not just Los Angeles, but America, because this guy's notorious. Everyone knew Mickey Cohen. And so they started visiting him. And after one long evening session where they'd been urging him to respond to Jesus, they said, Mickey, open the door of your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, come in. And he responded positively. He said, Jesus, come in. But as the weeks went on, and as the months went on, there was no change in his life. He kept killing people. Kept robbing people. Kept running illegal gambling stuff. And eventually, the Christian leaders confronted him and said, what are you doing? Jesus is your king now. He says, well, no one told me about Jesus being my king. No one said I had to stop doing my work. After all, you've got Christian footballers, you've got Christian actors, you've got Christian politicians. Why not a Christian gangster? And that's when they told him about repentance, about following Jesus means a redirection of your life. It means not doing what Jesus tells you not to do. And when he heard about that, about submitting to Christ, about turning away from self-rule, didn't want anything more to do with Christianity. That's important, isn't it, that we hear that from the start. Jesus says repent, and that means a total change in our lives. It involves an awareness of sin, a sorrow over sin, a confession of sin, and a changed lifestyle. Repent, repent, repent. But repentance in the Bible is never, ever, ever alone. It's always accompanied by something else. Now, we've got some pictures of some very famous people or things that go together. Someone's missing from that, okay? So I'm going to say the name of the person on the screen, and you've got to say who's missing, okay? So ants and...
Bear.
Yes, there he is. Yep, okay, next one. Postman Pat and... Well, that wasn't as good. Who's missing? Okay, and what's the cat called?
Jess.
Okay, Postman Pat and... Jess. Next one. Laurel and...
Harley.
Yes. Did you know that Stan Laurel was born in Ulverston? Did you know that? You know, all the best people come from Ulverston. Shaggy and?
Scooby.
Shaggy and Scooby Scooby Doo. Yes, next one. Ooh, hey, you've got to be old to get this one. Yeah, I can hear people mention. So, does anyone know who that is? It's Don. It's Don Everly. The Everly brothers. So, who's missing? Phil. Don and Phil, the Everly brothers. Absolutely fantastic. The most perfect harmonies ever. Brilliant. Strawberries and?
Cream.
Yes. Next one. Fish and?
Chips.
Did someone say fish and mushy peas? Fish and chips. Of course it's fish and chips. I think that's the end of those pictures now. We can go back to the fish and chips. Or if I said something like Morecambe and?
Wise.
Yeah, you see, things go together. Repentance and?
Yes,
repentance and faith. See, that's what Jesus says. Repent and believe. And that's what believe means. It means to have faith in someone or something. Trust. And we see that every day in our lives as well. We exercise faith every single day of our lives. Everyone does it. So those people, thank you, Andre, crossing that bridge, there they are. They're exercising faith. I mean, that's very high up, that bridge. Hundreds and hundreds of feet drop. They are putting their faith in that bridge to hold them as they walk across. That's faith. You exercise faith when you get on the bus. When you get on the bus, it says, from Kendal bus station, it's going to Oxenholme. You get on that bus, you believe that it's going to Oxenholme. You just faith. Or when you get on the train that says going to Manchester Airport, that's exercising faith. Or, you know, if I stand up at the front and says, I'm going to give you some money, and you come up to the front and take the money, that's exercising faith. Let's have a go, shall we? Okay, let's have a look. Let's get me a wallet out. Okay. Bit of money, yeah, right. I'll do something else, actually. that sounds better, doesn't it? Okay, what have I got in my pocket? I've got about £1 here. So, if I said to someone, well, who wants a pound? Who wants a pound? Put your hand up if you want a pound. All right? Right, Noah, if you come up to the front, you'll get a pound. Well done. There you go. Cheers. Go and sit down. Good lad. Nice. Thank you as well. I'll tell you later what I'd like you to buy for me with it. But that's faith. I said, I'll give you a pound, and he believed me, and he exercised faith. Coming up and getting it was faith. Jesus says, believe the good news. To believe the good news means to accept the message that he's proclaiming, to believe that he is the king, and to trust him to save us, to trust that he's the one who can deliver the kingdom, that he's the one who can get us into the kingdom, he's the one who can keep us in the kingdom. And to do that in spite of ourselves. And the way, as we read on in this wonderful book of Mark, the way that he does that, of course, is by dying for us. That's the way he gets us in. That's the work that he does for us. And he calls us to trust in that work, to rely on that work on the cross as the only way we can be saved. So repent and believe. And those two things, they always go together. So the moment I repent, I believe. So here I am, my back's towards God. I'm born, I'm living my life, I'm walking away from God. I hear the good news about Jesus. At the minute, I'm just living for myself. I'm trusting in other things for life and health and happiness and salvation, things other than God. I hear the good news of Jesus and I stop. And I turn. And at that very moment of turning, I'm also trusting. I'm trusting someone else now. I'm not trusting myself or anyone or anything else. I'm trusting in God. I'm believing his word and I'm going his way. Repentance and faith. Repent and believe always, always, always go together. So that's Jesus' message, and therefore the people listening to him, imagine if you're there, the people listening to him have a very, very, very big decision to make, don't they? It's the biggest decision anyone will ever have to make, biggest decision you'll have to make as well. What are they going to do? What are you going to do? Bigger than what job you do, bigger than where you're going on holiday, bigger than who you marry, bigger than anything, are you going to listen to Jesus? And are you going to allow him to rule you? Are you going to trust him as the king sent by God to rescue you? Or are you just going to stay the same? So that's that big decision. Are we going to listen to Jesus, change the way we live, trust him, or just stay the same? Well, that's something we need to think about. And we're going to think about the next little bit that Jesus speaks in Mark chapter 1, and then we're going to spend a bit of time praying. We're going to look at verses 16 to 20. I'm going to read them again. It's a while since Alison read them. I'm going to read them again, but just close your Bibles. Okay, so let's see how much you were paying attention when she read it, because I'm going to read it again with some mistakes. And when you hear the mistake, I want you to shout, wrong! Okay, so can you do that? Well, we'll see if you can shout wrong to start with. After three, one, two, three.
Wrong.
Okay, so don't be shy. If you think that there is a mistake in there, shout it. And yeah, and if you get it wrong, you know, and it's correct, actually there isn't a mistake there, then that's fine. Don't worry about it. No, come on, let's be brave. Right. As Jesus walked beside Lake Windermere.
Wrong.
Okay, that's the easy one. What is it? Sea of Galilee, or Lake Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Peter.
Wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong. Simon and his brother
Andrew,
casting their nets into the lake, for they were farmers. What were they? Go away from me, Jesus said.
Wrong.
Yeah, come on. What did he say? Come, follow me. Not go away from me, come, follow me. And I will send you out to fish for trout.
Wrong.
Men or, what does it say in the, yeah, people. So it means, yeah, it's for fish for people. A few weeks later, they left their nets. Yeah, yes. Not a few weeks later. Immediately. There and then, right away. Immediately, they left their nets and followed Katy Perry. Wrong. No, apparently Katy Perry is the person who has the most followers on Twitter anywhere in the world. Did you know that? Does anyone follow Katy Perry on Twitter here?
No.
Good. Follow Jesus. So they followed him. Now when he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his sister Joan in a boat. Who's it?
John.
Yeah, and sister John or? Brother. His brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zachary in the boat Zebedee, yes. In the boat with the hired men, and they followed Cristiano Ronaldo. Wrong. Not Cristiano Ronaldo. He's got the most followers on Instagram anywhere in the world. They followed Jesus, him, yes. So what is the king's command to these people? He says, follow. Follow me. And that tells us something about his mission. See, Jesus wants followers. He wants disciples. He wants people in his kingdom. He wants a kingdom full of people. People who will learn from him and people who will live for him. Disciples. And these men do that, don't they? Straight away. They just, no hesitation, drop their nets and follow him. And the way that they respond to Jesus' call is meant to be a model for us. Following Jesus means putting Jesus first. And for these men, it meant leaving their livelihood and their loved ones, their jobs and their family, leaving their father, Zebedee. Now we think, does that mean if I was to follow Jesus, I'd have to leave my job and I'd have to leave my family too? No, not necessarily. There's a principle being taught here, which is put Jesus first. But it might it? It might mean I have to leave my job and lose my family. Putting Jesus first may mean I lose my job. Or it might mean that I have to leave my job because it's not suitable for a Christian, like Christian Gangster, for instance. That's not suitable, is it? Should have changed his job. I know someone who, when they became a Christian, they heard the good news of Jesus. They were running a betting shop. And they became a Christian, and right away they realized, actually, encouraging people to gamble and ruin people's lives that way, I can't do that anymore. And so there and then, he left his job. Didn't have another job to go to. Just thought, I'm following Jesus now, the king. I'm leaving my job. And he did. And God in his mercy and grace provided him with another job. Becoming a follower of Jesus might not be popular with my family, might it? They might fall out with me. They might reject me. And that happens to lots of people in other parts of the world or in other communities. I used to work with a man who grew up in a Muslim country, and he became a Christian while he was in that Muslim country, and his family totally rejected him. And the reason why he was working here was because his family had said, we're going to kill you. And they put a price on his head. His father and brothers put a price on his head. So if he goes back to that country, they say, we're going to kill you. So he's lost his family because he's following Jesus. So it means putting Jesus first. Secondly, following Jesus means serving. Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of people. Now, it doesn't mean that they would catch people in a large net. I think we've got a kind of cartoon of what that might look like. That's the kind of thing, because he doesn't mean that. I got this into my head all week this week, and do you know what kept coming? It's freaking me out. Do you know, when I think of people being caught in a net, what I think of? Has anyone seen the film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Yes. You know the child catcher in that? Oh! I used to be scared of him as a kid. That's all I've been able to think about all week. I haven't got it out of my head. You know, you get songs in your head that you can't get out. I've had that picture in my head all week. Thankfully, that's not what Jesus means. So we can get that picture off. Thank you, Andre. Is there any other adults here scared by him when you were a kid? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, absolutely freaked me out. Yeah. Right, come on. He's not talking about catching people in a net. He's talking about telling people about Jesus so that they can follow him too. His mission is proclaiming the good news. Jesus is capturing people by his word. Captures hearts and minds by his powerful, loving word. And that is to be our mission too. Is to share the good news of God. Don't think people will always welcome that, mind you. It might make you very unpopular. Look where it got John the Baptist. Where did he get John the Baptist? Verse 14. In prison. Look where he got Jesus. Where did it get Jesus? On the cross. And it might get you into trouble as well. And we can't start hearing this. We go, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on a minute. Isn't all this just a bit extreme? Leaving everything to follow Jesus? Being persecuted for it? Isn't it all a bit too much, that? A bit extreme? Well, over the next few weeks, hope you can come back and listen to what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, because we're going to see some wonderful, wonderful things about the kingdom of God and the king of the kingdom. So wonderful that handing over my life to Jesus doesn't actually seem that extreme at all. There is a cost to following Jesus, yes, but it's worth it because we're going to see his authority over evil, his authority over sickness, his authority over sin. We're going to see that in God's kingdom there's no place at all for evil, no place for sickness, no place for sin. Just wouldn't it be brilliant to wake up tomorrow in a world where there's no sickness. Wouldn't that be brilliant? So I kind of look at the people on our list, which I do every day as we're praying, and I think, yes, wouldn't it be brilliant for these people to wake up tomorrow with all these things gone away? Be absolutely brilliant. Wouldn't it be brilliant for people to wake up tomorrow and not be bereaved, to know that it's all gone, no more death? Well, yes, that would be wonderful. But that's what God's rule means. An eternal kingdom without evil, without sickness, without sin. Who wouldn't leave all their worldly gains for a kingdom like that? We have to wait for it, but it's coming. And Jesus gives us these previews in the next few chapters. An eternal kingdom without evil, without sickness, without sin. Who wouldn't leave everything for that? And then you see the king, and the king is the most glorious part of the kingdom. A king with such supreme authority, a king of perfect goodness, perfect compassion, perfect mercy. A king who welcomes sinners. Who wouldn't want to follow a king like that? A king who didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. A king who died for his people. Who wouldn't choose to follow a king like that? Well, we don't have to wait to follow that king. We can do that today. We can know him and his love and his power in our lives today. But the thing is, if this king and his kingdom is so good, who wouldn't want to respond in the way that Jesus commands here? Repent, believe the good news, follow me. Maybe you're here for the first time. You might be a visitor. You might be from Kendall. You've come in for the first time. This is the first time you've ever heard this. And Jesus' message to you is, do this without delay. Repent, believe the good news, follow me. You might have been in this church for years and years and years, sat here week after week after week, and you still haven't done it. You still haven't repented. You still haven't believed. You're still not following. Jesus says, without delay, without hesitation, change your mind today, follow me. Accept. Accept it. Accept the invitation. Accept the call. Do it today. What about those of us who have done this, who have repented and have believed? What do we do? What's our response? Our response is repent, believe the good news, follow him. It's not just something we do at the start of our Christian lives. It's the way we continue our Christian lives. Every day we have sin to turn from, and we need to keep trusting Jesus. We're secure. There's no condemnation for us. We've been saved. We're on our way to heaven. It's not in any doubt whatsoever. But the way we keep living as a Christian is by keeping our eyes on Christ, and that means repenting and believing. He alone can save us. So we keep doing that.